There is a halfway mark between the known and unknown. A middle ground or chamber where divine wisdom and truth reside. In this middle chamber, we will explore and expose the ruling paradigms of social engineering, mind control, government conspiracies, and cover-ups. Join us as we navigate the territories and boundaries of natural law and the ancient principles of the sacred feminine and divine masculine. Examine and consider alternative energy systems, holistic healing arts, and wild soulful living to train our awareness in a most novel and abstract manner to view reality from an entirely new perspective. Welcome to the Middle Chamber.
Hello and greetings once again, ladies and gentlemen. This is another episode of the Middle Chamber. A little bit different episode format this week. We had kind of a mishmash of segments that we've sewed together. A small segment with Steve Ellswick from Tesla Tech, the people who are promoting the Extraordinary Science, Technology and Science Conference in Albuquerque, New Mexico this year at the Embassy Suites. But also, Mater X and I had a little conversation. It's partly in honor of Mother's Day, but the topics of the conversation didn't necessarily focus on Mother's Day. We did mention that, and we will. We'd like to extend to everyone out there, all the mothers out there, happy Mother's Day today. And we had intended to have a show that was more focused on that, which we will have in the future. So, without any further delay on this, I wanted to begin the segment that Mater X and I pre-recorded this week. And then we'll end it with a small segment from the producer, promoter, and publisher of Extraordinary Technology and Science magazine and the president of Tesla Tech out in New Mexico / Nevada. So thanks again, everyone, for tuning in each week to the Middle Chamber. And next week, we have an awesome guest plan, which we talk about in the next segment. So stay tuned and stick around for much more fun here in the Middle Chamber. Have a great weekend and happy Mother's Day.
It's Mother's Day weekend, everybody, so happy Mother's Day out there to all the mothers.
Happy Mother's Day, mommies.
We had intended to try to, last minute, we tried to get Carrie Lee from Lifting the Veil to come on and talk with us, especially to talk with Mater X, but scheduling conflicts as they were, we weren't able to pull that off, so...
Stay tuned.
Right. In the near future, we will have Carrie Lee come on and talk to Mater X about motherhood. It'll be a post-belated motherhood show, Mother's Day broadcast. So, moving forward, like I said, we'll have a little segment at the end of this segment right here. We'll have a smaller segment with Steve Ellswick, who's the publisher of Extraordinary Technology and Science magazine, who is hosting the big event this year at the... Is it the Hyatt Regency? No. I'll have to get back to you with that one, ladies and gentlemen, because that slipped my mind, which hotel it's at. But it's in Albuquerque. A big one. There's a pyramid out front. Actually, if you go to the Facebook page for this show, which is Freighter X, first name, Mater X, last name, on Facebook, also the Middle Chamber page, you'll find a picture of the location of the big conference this year in Albuquerque, New Mexico, hosted by Tesla Tech, which is like the southwestern version of the Tesla Science Foundation, which is located in Philadelphia. Basically, it's a group of people who have come together and pledged to work together to bring about new technology, new energy systems, new healing systems too, you know, medicine techniques that are suppressed by the AMA and the doctors out there who would rather keep everybody on pharmaceutical products. So, having said that, we had a few things we wanted to cover today, some topics of discussion, basically current events, And our good friend Freeman Fly posted a little article on Facebook that Materx is going to read for us now, which is a current event that is important for us to, you know, take a moment and think about. Go ahead, Materx.
Well, actually, it's not quite so much an article as he shared a photo of another Facebook member, I suppose, and it's regarding an art exhibit that I'm not exactly sure, because he doesn't list where it is. If I had a way to show you a picture, I would, because it's got a photograph that what I was going to read actually is describing. And so perhaps you could go to Saudis in USA on Facebook. On April 28th, they posted this exhibit here, and it's a grouping of six images. I'll describe them. In each image, there is an adult standing in front of a wall with his arms out, and there is a small child somehow suspended from the adult's back in the pose of a crucifixion. And there are six of these photos. And the first image refers to pedophilia in the Vatican. Note I am quoting this. The second depicts child sexual abuse in tourism in Thailand, and the third refers to the war in Syria. The fourth image refers to the trafficking of organs on the black market, where most of the victims are children from poor countries. And the fifth refers to weapons-free in the U.S. And finally, the sixth image refers to obesity, blaming the big fast food companies. And the new series, produced by Cuban artist Eric Ravello, was titled as The Untouchables. And they're photographs, as I've said, of children crucified for his supposed oppressors, each for a different reason and a clear message. And it seeks to reaffirm the right of children to be protected and report abuse suffered by them, especially in countries such as Brazil, Syria, Thailand, Japan, and the United States. And this is very significant to me because we don't often want to talk about the bad things that happen to children in our world. And as a mother, it hits me even harder. The first image is of a priest, and there is a naked little boy hanging on his back. The second is a everyday tourist-looking type person with a child on his back. The third is a soldier. Fourth is dressed as a doctor. Looks like the fifth might be a gang member, and for obesity we can blame Ronald McDonald. What I went and I read the comments here, and I'd hoped to find a bunch, well, I did actually find a bunch of comments about, you know, how awful it was that these things happened to children. One person in particular, though, just almost reaffirmed my belief that there are just some very ignorant-minded people who have been duped by religion. And this guy is saying that he doesn't like seeing us use the cross in this way. He's saying that we're using it to make a statement that's not right. It's not right when people use Jesus to make anything related to evil. Using Jesus to symbolize a pedophile or a murderer, I couldn't even look at the rest, blah, blah, blah. Now, I think this person is very much missing the point. And it's another case of, you know, in my mind, really missing the whole point of even the religion that this person is spouting. Jesus was crucified for standing up and speaking out against what he didn't feel was right in his world, which is what I think that this artist is doing. And I don't think that the Jesus that I learned about when I was a kid would actually take offense, but
it's not just that. It's also the pedophilia priests that are out there that we keep hearing about in the news, and all these incidents over and over again that we keep hearing about. These are people who are using Jesus and the cross and the religion of Christianity as a vehicle for their perversions. They're taking advantage of people in the name of Jesus. They're coming to people in the name of Jesus and committing atrocities on children in the name of Jesus behind the cross. So that's why it's an appropriate image, because it's taking this tragic, you know, just insidiously horrific crime and turning it back on itself. Because the fact that that person reacted the way they did means it's working. Because it is offensive to your, you know, religious sensibilities and spiritual, you know, ideas about things. It is offensive, and it does cause you to pause and have to take a moment and think about why that is so shocking. But that's how shocking it is to think of a priest or anyone who's been, you know, in a sacred position, sworn to care and protect and shepherd innocent people in the most vulnerable states of their lives, the most vulnerable aspects of human existence.
Well, when they're still developing, really.
Yes.
So this is going, their experience.
Caretakers,
with,
people who are caretakers.
Exactly, caretakers of their spirits, even, you know,
yeah,
of their
souls.
Spiritual
and physical. Entrusted by the families with these children. These children
right.
are entrusted into these people's hands.
Yeah.
And they'd defile them and violate them and hurt them like this. So, yes, it is offensive, but it's offensive what's being done in the name of Christ.
To
that's
children.
That's more offensive. And so it overrides the offense of utilizing this iconography. You know, I mean, iconography too long in human history has iconography been misused and misapplied and used to abuse people. So, to have it used to wake people up, to bring their attention to stuff that, like this, is really appropriate, I think, you know, and
yeah.
that's why art is a, you know, political, social commentary oftentimes. It is, you know, especially modern art is shocking sometimes, in a good way, you know, because it causes us to think, and it really rattles our cage when our sacred iconography is utilized. But that's important, you know, to shake things up is important. Afflict the comfortable, comfort the afflicted, you know, it's important to turn things up. This is from my perspective as an individual. My perspective is that it's important to turn things on their head. It's important to keep things agitating, to move things and mix it around, and it just keeps things real. It keeps things alive, I think. Things don't go to sleep in you if you're constantly moving and changing, and if you're just expecting change.
Right. And I think it's really important that we become aware of these things. Because if it doesn't have the attention of the people, then it has a better chance of keeping going than it would. I mean, children, my God. I have a hard enough time letting my child walk down the street to her friend's house who lives two blocks away by herself without mom holding her hand the whole way. To think that some of the missing children in our world have been harvested for their organs, or, as Frater X just mentioned, had their innocence stolen from them, or live in a war zone. Speaking of war zones, I just gotta say I feel for all the people in all the countries that have...
All the mothers.
All the mothers.
In war zones right
yeah.
now.
All the mothers, exactly.
Mm-hmm. All the mothers that are...
Who are having to watch their babies either die or go off to war. I would just never want that to happen.
Or have to, you know, wake up every morning and think about how they're going to protect their children. Okay, so in general, we would say a prayer to all mothers out there in the war zones, you know, and for their young and their offspring and their loved ones, that they would find peace this weekend especially, but in general, just we'd say a prayer to end all wars, but we know that that's idealistic. In this day and age, that's very idealistic. And I just wanted to kind of move towards more positive things, and then we'll also go over some other stuff in the news that Mater X has been
Greater X is going to make us happy, and so that we can just get madder again.
Yes, mad and sad. No, but we wanted to cover both sides of things. The things that are concerning us, and also things that are happening that we can feel good about, and that we can look forward to and feel encouraged about. Like, for example, there's a new radio show coming out on Sync Book Radio Network.
Right.
Marty Leeds is going to do his Math Magical Hour with Marty Leeds on the Sync Book Radio Network. So it's show number 4.
Nerds of the world unite.
That's right. Better living through mathematics, everyone.
That should be very interesting and fun.
Math is
I'm
important.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and he's inviting me to come on his show, and we'll hopefully we'll have him. I tried to get him to do a little segment with me today, but he had to work. He, too, has to work for how you say the man, as we all do. And don't get Mater X started on her job, because she could go on and on, and we don't want to take up the whole podcast with her disgruntled opinions. Because let's just put it this way. Not only does she work for corporate America, but also a university system. It's a double whammy to anybody who knows.
Yep.
So, also, we are looking forward to the summer. I mean, it's summertime in Lawrence, or just about summertime in Lawrence. It's late spring, or let's say it's mid-spring here, really. Spring's just finally sprung. We had kind of a slow start, it seemed. It was cold.
A very slow start.
We had a slow start, but now things are picking up, and it's beautiful
out. And we're getting hints of summer as well.
I swiped an iris from a corner side bed walking home with Mater X. It was a beautiful light blue flower.
It smelled beautiful.
And then we dutifully brought it home and stuck it in a Coke bottle. So
a glass Coke bottle,
glass
no
Coke
less.
Bottle, that's right. So not a
one of the new old ones.
Yeah, we don't drink soda very much, really. Sometimes once in a while it's
matter of fact, I think that bottle was snuck in by one of our offspring.
Yes, the oldest loves to drink soda whenever he can. He's typical teenager. But okay.
He rebels by eating more sugar than we allow.
Right. I'm actually doing good on sugar, ladies and gentlemen. I've actually cut it out of my, the only time I drink sugar in my coffee is when I get it from your coffee shop, when I get a yummy latte. Normally now, I'm just going with a little bit of cream or black, and no sugar at all. I'm trying to stay off it because I know how bad it is. I'm starting to realize, you know, waking up like everyone else to the fact that sugar is a drug, and it's a chemical that's been used to control us. And it is an addictive substance that does damage to our bodies.
Yeah.
And there's many things like that we're finding out with nutrition. There's so many things that have been set up to just do damage to us. And we're supposed to accept it and go along with it, not question it, just buy it, be a good consumer. And that's why we're involved in things like trying to bring awareness to the Tesla Tech event going on in Albuquerque. We're going to be shooting live footage to put into the tech footage for the Conspiracy Science Theater, which is still in the works, everyone, with Freeman Fly over at freemantv.com. Jamie also will be involved, Mater X, and many, a whole score of other behind-the-scenes artists and maestros and producers. We're so lucky right now. All the people that we know that are amazingly creative and visionary, insightful, passionate, zealous media content providers like ourselves. And some of the people that I'm excited about working with right now are Rizzo from the Maniac Agenda, and also Chris Velrafe, very good friend of ours, friend of the show. He's done so much in the image producing department for the Middle Chamber. A lot of the best images that we have came from Chris Velrafe's creativities. He's a maestro. And he's done a lot of the computer animation that's going to be in the Conspiracy Science Theater. He also works with MoveOn.org right now, and he's, you know, doing a lot of amazing activism work. He did the transformation video for Max Egan a couple years ago, which was an excellent, excellent video. And he's coming up with, I don't want to say too much about it, but he is trying to, we're in the process of developing a couple of projects together. Him and Rizzo did a movie a couple years ago. They started a movie project that's an art film that I was involved in. I did some footage with them on the streets of Philadelphia a couple years ago with that. And it's going to be an artistic, hermetic journey Rosicrucian hermetic journey is what it is. And they're going to go to the, there's a cave outside of Philadelphia, which we talked to our good friend Ross Ben in the first the comeback episode of The Middle Chamber, which you can check out in the archives of this show at syncbook.com and all kinds of other places, you know, at the websites with middlechamberfx.wordpress.com and freighterx.blogspot.com and yeah, so just check it out. There's all kinds of great stuff, but it's building every week, and the first one we did was with Ross Ben, who talked to us about geomancy and the grid builders of the Philadelphia Waterways region and all the amazing information about that, and so without getting into all that right now, just go check out that podcast, and you'll really understand how exciting the whole thing is, and that the Free Your Mind conference is done there in the same area, and Rizzo and Chris Velrafe are making a movie and doing some shots of a cavern. There's a cave outside of Philadelphia that they're supposedly, it's near where the Rosicrucian colonies from Germany, when they first immigrated over here in the 17th century and 18th
century.
I'd love
to go exploring in that cave.
Yeah, well, we're going to go there, because when we go out there for the Free Your Mind conference 3, which will be in Bucks County at the Bucks County Sheridan, we will be in the area, and we're going to do some more footage, so we'll probably see all that stuff. It'll be really exciting. And we're working on that. Plus, we're also working on a fantasy role-playing game that's going to be sort of like Illuminati series, conspiracy theory type, first-person, choose-your-own-adventure type role-playing game.
Nice.
But that's cool in and of itself. But at the same time, I'm also personally trying to develop our own virtual mystery school, which will be like a virtual college, online magical college and school of hermetic arts and the occult sciences and everything all involved. And it's really going to be a very intensive, interactive experience is what we're trying to plan. One where a person would feel like every time they log in and enter this educational realm / gaming universe, they will feel like it's always on, there's always something going on, you're always interacting with other personalities, other thought forms, other virtual persona and avatars, which will be basically reflections of the individuals who enroll in the school. So you're investing energy into your own thought form, which is a projection of yourself in a virtual state that will be in constant interaction with the other virtual persona, even when you're not logged in. So progression will occur even when you're not involved in the game.
The other persona meaning being the instructor.
Instructors and other players, other students, other people involved. And so it's just really exciting. And we're all involved in it. It's a kind of an overlapping of concentric circles of creativity. So it's really an exciting time for all of us. And stay tuned to more developments in all these areas. Now, what do you got for us as far as another article that we... Well, you wanted to tell us about, first of all, somebody passed that was really significant.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was going to just read highlights from the obituary. It was in the New York Times this morning. But it was such a well-written obituary, and I hope you don't mind. I'm just going to read it to you. So, Farley Mowat, one of Canada's most popular and prolific writers, who became a champion of wildlife and Native Canadian rights, and a sharp critic of environmental abuse, died on Tuesday in Port Hope, Ontario. He was 92. Mr. Mowat wrote both novels and nonfiction for half a century, turning out 45 books and selling 17 million copies that were translated into 52 languages. He wrote with great range, from light humorous fiction to historical accounts and dark tales of injustice, from children's stories to tales of exploration, whale hunting, and deep sea salvaging. But one thing remained constant: humanity's relationship with nature, one in which he frequently cast people as a devastatingly destructive force. Mr. Mowat was probably most widely known for his 1963 book Never Cry Wolf, in which he recounts his adventures as a biologist on a solo mission in 1946 to study Arctic wolves in the Keewatin Barren Lands in northern Manitoba. He finds a den of them only 100 yards from where a rickety bush plane had set him down on a frozen lake in May. The book provoked widespread debate over its sympathetic portrayal of an animal that many Canadians, and Americans unfortunately, my words, thought should be exterminated. Mr. Mowat was self-effacing about his work. In 1974, a guide to his papers housed at McMaster University, he wrote, "I was content from the first to be a simple saga man, a teller of tales, which hopefully had a moral of some sort or another, even if I was confused about exactly what it was." His writing career took off toward the end of the 1940s, after he had served in the Canadian military in Italy during World War II. Joining a relative on a scientific expedition to the Canadian Arctic, he hoped to find an antidote to the dispiriting experience of war. Instead, he found widespread poverty and starvation among the Inuit people there, conditions he attributed to abuse and mismanagement by the Canadian government. That trip and subsequent ones led to the novel People of the Deer, a book about the struggles of the Iqaluit, an Inuit group in the Northwest Territories. At a time when the Arctic was largely a distant memory to the rest of Canada, the book brought Mr. Mowat legions of both admirers and political enemies in the South, where his findings were debated in Parliament. Walter O'Hearn, in a review of the book, called Mr. Mowat Canada's angriest young man. In Never Cry Wolf, Mr. Mowat learned about the lives of wolves with binocular clarity, about their treks to find food in winter and their territorial claims in summer, when they remain in their dens living on mice. Mr. Mowat, in the interests of science, tried living on them too, and found the diet nourishing. He portrayed wolves as patient and gentle with their own, sometimes even fond of practical jokes. They adopted orphan puppies and babysat for all their wolves' pups. They never killed more than they could eat. And yet somehow they're the animals. In one passage, he described the father of the wolf family he was observing, calling him George. He wrote, "His dignity was unassailable, yet he was by no means aloof. Conscientious to a fault, thoughtful of others, and affectionate within reasonable bounds. He was the kind of father whose idealized image appears in many wistful books of human family reminiscences. George was the kind of father every son longs to have and longs to acknowledge as his own." Elizabeth May, the leader of Canada's Green Party, and a longtime friend of Mr. Mowat, who accompanied him in several environmental campaigns, said that much of the power in his books came from a lack of overt preaching. He was telling stories that made you laugh out loud, but which made you see that the natural world was a big part of who we are, she said. Mr. Mowat was frequently attacked for his sometimes casual approach to facts, an accusation which he seemed indifferent. I think Freighter X would like to hear a little about that. "I have always been wary of facts," he said. "I don't trust them. My experiences in many fields of human activity suggest that they generally conceal, or at least becloud, as much as, or more than, they reveal." Mr. Mowat had a dim view of the United States, one that did not improve when he was turned away from the border in 1985, under a now-defunct law banning political subversives. In a subsequent book, Mr. Mowat said he'd been blacklisted for once telling a newspaper that he had fired his rifle at American bombers carrying nuclear weapons as they flew thousands of feet above Canada. Farley McGill Mowat was born May 12, 1921, in Ontario. He died on Tuesday, just a few days short of his 93rd birthday. According to Ms. May, she said Mr. Mowat had been working on a new book at the time of his death. A frequent guest on Canadian television and radio, he had taken time out to appear on a Canadian Broadcasting Corporation radio program to condemn a plan to set up internet hotspots in several of Canada's national parks, calling it a disastrous, quite stupid, idiotic concept, quote, or end quote. Mr. Mowat said that parks should be for the preservation of nature. Human beings should be kept out of them as much as possible. Rest in peace, Farley Mowat.
So another thing that I wanted to mention that's upcoming next week, as a matter of fact, we're going to have another author, magician, real magi magician, you know. This is not stage magic we're talking about. Author Andre, and we're going to check on his pronunciation when we talk to him, because we haven't spoken to him. We've only had correspondence through email and Facebook. But Andre Vitamus, he wrote a book called Hands-On Chaos Magic. It's a really recent publication, and he is really an exciting author. I'm about a quarter of a way into it, and I gotta tell you, it's really approachable material. I'm finding that you're gonna start reading it next here, in the next couple of days. Yeah, and you'll give me your impressions, but I think it's really approachable stuff. I like he's got a very proactive, positive approach, even when he's talking about darker stuff, because he talks about both light and dark sides of things very non-dualistically, very enlightened, and he understands the same approach that we have to magic and the occult, with the idea of self-improvement, self-actualization, self-integration, fully realizing your potential, developing psychic ability, developing character, cultivating wisdom, all the key things that we've already spoken of and will continue to speak of. But just for the record, just to think about what the idea of chaos magic, because he's really from that school of chaos magic, the Illuminates of Thanateros, which is a movement within the ceremonial magic realm that started in the 70s. In the late 70s, there was an author named Peter Carroll, who our guest next week has interviewed on his podcast, which is called Deeper Down the Rabbit Hole. You can check that out. You can also check him out on Facebook. So it's Andrea or Andre Vitamus, just like it sounds. Vitamus is what Mainrex thinks. We'll find out. He'll correct us when we talk to him. Seems like a really down-to-earth guy. But okay, so Peter Carroll basically wrote a book called Liber Null. And this was first promoted in the literary scene in a periodical called the New Equinox Magazine, which featured the IOT, or Illuminates of Thanateros Order material. So it was Peter Carroll, and this other author's name was Ray Sherwin. He wrote a book called The Book of Results, and their approach was based on August Spare's material. Spare was a student of Thelema, of the OTO and Aleister Crowley for a minute, but they had a falling out, and he kind of rejected Crowley, and Crowley rejected him, and he was an interesting guy who had some interesting insights. He was very artistic, painter, and writer. So, anyways, this is the material that is the Zaws, Z-O-S material, is the Zaws, is the writings of Spare. So they took his material, and he was around the turn of the century, 20s, 30s, and they developed it, this is late 70s, and they came up with this IOT, sort of an alternative to the OTO. If you didn't want to become a worshiper of Aleister Crowley, and you didn't want to join the Golden Dawn, and you didn't want to join any of the Masonic magical orders, quasi-Masonic magical orders out there, like the Boda or the AODA, you know, the Order of Druids, or any of the other orders that were out there, you could go with chaos magic. And chaos magic, so there's a lot of material. They do a lot of sigil magic work, and let's see, there's several books that you can get. I have several digital copies of all the most important books that are written. Yeah, Robert Anton Wilson was involved with Chaos Magic. So was William S. Burroughs, the Discordian Society. Having said that, Chaos Magic can be boiled down to oversimplified definitions here. We could say Chaos Magic can be conceptualized as a mixture of postmodern art and thought, including music, and art as in painting and writing and everything, that all the media involved, and esoteric ceremonial magic. So students of the IOT strengthen their magical will against the strongest possible adversaries, their own minds. That comes directly from Lieber Null. They explore the possibilities of changing themselves at will and explore their own occult abilities in dream and magical activity. Adepts seek perfection in all aspects of personal magical power, wisdom, and liberation. That's your basic idea of... There's also this right here. Masters seek to realize the aims of the order by whatever forms of action or non-action they deem appropriate. And one really cool saying from the book Hands-On Chaos Magic, which we're reviewing for our interview next week, is there is no failure, only feedback. I like that too. There's no failure, only feedback. Feedback can be taken and used and applied and for correcting the error of your way, whatever it was, that you consider failure if you want, or you can consider it proactively and say it's feedback that I can use.
Right.
So for me, that's the approach of magic, is to try to find balance, first and foremost, the way of the equilibrium. We've learned that. That's first and foremost. Orientation, postures, this is all important. Equilibrium. And then exploring the depths of our own character and our own intellect and exploring the darker sides of ourselves as much as the light and trying to apply all aspects of ourselves in the most constructive way and productive way and progressive way and to try to fully realize ourselves, to integrate all those aspects of ourselves and express ourselves creatively. That's to me the general great work, the general goal and mission. We're looking forward to that show next week.
Definitely.
And like I said, after this short chat we're having with you today, we're going to also have a little brief talk with, or I will be talking with, Steve Ellswick, who is the president of the Tesla Tech, and also he is the publisher of Extraordinary Technology and Science magazine. So stay tuned at the end of this podcast right here. Just stay on. You'll hear a little bit more from somebody else, and then we'll wrap things up. Did you have anything else you wanted to say?
No, this is such an off-the-cuff thing we're doing today. I forgot to take my notes.
Oh, that's okay. Hey, you know, it's a laid-back, leisurely stroll through the middle chamber this week, everybody. We're just kicking back. It's a nice day. It was a long week. We still don't know what we're doing. We're up in the air. We're trying to plan our trip to go out west. We have our first event in Albuquerque. After that, we're supposed to be in San Diego the 2nd and 3rd of August. And then after that...
ParanoiaCon.
But that's for ParanoiaCon with our good friend, Ron Patton, editor in chief of Paranoia Magazine, the Conspiracy Reader. I'm also preparing my new article for that, which is, I'm still trying to finish the book, obviously, and I'm at 150 pages with 45,000 words. We are so close to being done, and I really, deliberately, I'm trying to keep this book under 200 pages, because I want people to really feel like they can read it, and I know that in our day and age, in the modern times, there's not a lot of people that have the time to invest in a big book. So I'm trying to provide a small book with a lot of information distilled in it, you know, and also a personal journey that's woven into the narrative. It's not just a textbook or an essay on masonry, which it is, though, but it's also a testimony of my own personal experiences and our experiences involved in the fraternal orders, mm-hmm. and where it took us and where we're going to go from here. So, you know, that's one thing that's going on, and we're trying to figure out, work our everyday lives into a mold of how we want to be, which is we want to be part of this media providing universe, this truth sphere that's around us, the truther movement that we, however we want to coin the phrase, and we want to also be able to survive. We have a family and we have the basic creature comfort needs. We're not extravagant people, everybody. We never go out. We don't go to, you know, the amount of time we spend in anything of leisure pursuit, besides just hanging out at our own home, making mostly home-cooked meals for our family, is, you know, so few and far between.
Yeah.
We so rarely go out, movies or dinner or anything like that. I'm sure people do it much more than we do. And we never buy things like clothes or, you know, the things that, possessions that a lot of other people might spend their money on. But we still have a hard time because we have four children that do require a lot of things. The basic needs are expensive. And we don't get paid as much as other people. You know, we have basic entry-level wage slave jobs. We're not...
We're working-class heroes, ladies and gentlemen.
Or zeros, as the case may be. So anyways, I'm not trying to cry poor to you all, but I'm just saying that part of our limitations is trying to figure out how we're going to do what we want to go. Not just what we're going to do, but how we're going to do it and how we're going to make it happen. And anybody out there listening, if you have any ideas on how we can make this happen, we're open to suggestions. And we're trying to meet the needs that we have and also, above and beyond, plan for a trip out, as we've already discussed, this summer. But you can find us on Twitter at TMC369. And we do have a blog spot. My blog spot is freighterx.blogspot.com. Materx's blogspot is?
Materx369@blogspot.com.
And thank you again for joining us here in the middle chamber for this, a little bit briefer, you know, for brevity's sake. Sometimes we are long-winded so often. So sometimes we like to just keep it short and sweet. And we will come back next week with an awesome conversation. And we've got a lot of other great guests that we're lining up in the very near future. So stay tuned and keep going back to the same places you go to find what we have to say. And look forward to more and more stuff from us every week. Thanks again, everybody, and have a great week. We'll see you next weekend.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Bye-bye.
Okay, greetings all. This is Freighter X here on the Middle Chamber, and we have just a little conversation we're going to have with a very interesting individual that I met last year at the Conspiracy Con out in San Jose. I happened to be sitting at a table doing the Freeman TV table, actually, while Freeman was presenting in the other room, and a gentleman by the name of Steve Elswick was at the table next to me, who is from an organization called Tesla Tech. And he's also the publisher, editor of a magazine called Extraordinary Technology Science Magazine. And this July, actually, they're going to have an event that they have regularly now in Albuquerque, New Mexico, at the Hyatt Regency, Steve?
No, we'll be at the Embassy Suites.
The Embassy Suites in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where they will be having their yearly conference, basically exploring all the cutting-edge new energy systems and technologies that are being worked on pretty much around the world by some of the top experts and researchers and engineers in their field. And there'll be a lot of presenters. I know for a fact there's going to be one presenter who we know on this show from a couple years ago, Sterling Allen from PES Wiki, who we know as an expert in new energy systems and power energy systems that are ready to be marketed. And so we're really excited because actually Steve invited the Middle Chamber, us, to come and check out what's going on. And we're going to try to shoot some video footage and have a couple of audio interviews, maybe video interviews with some of the presenters during the event. So we're really excited to have Steve come on and tell us about this event, which is going on, that he is basically, I would consider, the mastermind or the brains and passion behind. So welcome, Steve Elswick from Tesla Tech. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us, and we're really excited about this event. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Tesla Tech and also a little bit about Extraordinary Technology Science Magazine?
Okay, what we do is I've been in the alternative energy field since 1984, formerly with the International Tesla Society, which folded after I left in 97. And then I've been doing started exotic research, and I ran that for till the turn of the century, till 9-1-1. And after 9-1-1, it took the wind out of everybody, and we had to start all over again with Tesla Tech. And at Tesla Tech, what we do is we're primary purveyors of information, and we hold conferences every year so people can show and tell, you know, what they're doing. Because too often when you get in the alternative energy field, you have all these people making all these claims, you know, about what works and what doesn't, and no one has any proof, you know. Well, what we do is we have the conference where they can bring and show everybody what they're doing, and it's like a put up or shut up type of show, you know. So it's very effective. You get to see a ton of stuff you won't even find on the internet, and there's also an opportunity to sit down and meet these people, real people for real, and you can sit and talk with them, break bread with them, you know, enjoy a cup of coffee with them, and they're there for like 4 days.
Yeah, that's really exciting. You know, Steve, also, I think there is a real powerful impact you get from actually being able to meet people, to talk to them face-to-face, to build rapport with people, and to explore and unpack these, you know, innovative ideas that really are the key to all of us being freed from the energy scarcity paradigm that we currently are subjected to.
Yeah, I think the meeting the people part is the most important, you know, because there's a lot of YouTubes on there, and it may have some information. And so the inventor generally won't really tell you hardly anything unless you know him personally. And the only way you get to meet him in person is go meet him. And this is an opportunity to bring a lot of different people together, and it's almost like a family there. You know, this is. I almost view this more like a family reunion type of deal. Everyone knows each other, and we try to bring in new people every year. This year, I'm really happy with what we have. We cover both alternative energy, alternative medicine, and to help our younger generation out. Teens are free. You know, if you have a teenager, you know, and one brings to the conference, it don't cost you anything extra. So it's a great deal.
That's excellent, Steve. And so just for people listening out there, did you want to mention any of the people that might be of interest and or any of the subjects that you personally think might be of interest to folks listening, especially involving, you know, alternative energy systems?
Well, one of the biggest, most popular topics right now is hydrogen. I'm sure everyone's probably seen the information where the Navy's developing a new fuel called JP5 out of hydrogen and carbon dioxide. Well, at our conference, we have a lot of HHO guys. You know, that's where you take and break up water into hydrogen and use that for fuel. And in just the evening sessions alone, we have four major speakers who will be covering or touching upon that topic. We have the author Burt Miller out of Houston, Texas, who's doing the 10 horsepower genset, and they'll be demonstrating running on water. You have the GEET device, which isn't really an HHO type, but you could retrofit any engine to run on GEET, and it kind of takes any fuel or non-fuel, like I run my Pepsi, root beer, Coca-Cola, and you can use that as a fuel. And it breaks it all down, and you run it through an engine, and it will run just fine. Then you have George Wiseman, who will be bringing his Brown's gas electrolyzer, who will actually teach you how to build one right there on the spot. There's Russ Grice, who's also going to be covering investigating through experimentation as well as the HHO stuff. This guy, a young guy, he's, I would say probably late 20s, early 30s. And he's has his own garage laboratory. He's an open source type of person. And he covers all the sciences, you know, from HHO. Him and his friends even build their own 3D printers. I mean, homemade 3D printers. These guys are just incredible. And a lot of the stuff will be there, you know, on display, or you can go around and play with, you know, while you're there. You know, it's just going to be a great thing.
Well, that's really, really exciting, Steve. I'm really looking forward to it myself. And I do have, you know, there'll be at least two or three of my children will be along for the ride. So we're really excited to talk to the people. And my kids are all very interested in new energy systems and cutting edge technology, as a lot of kids are today. Technology in itself is exciting for a lot of people. And of course, we all hope that we can use technology to benefit us as opposed to how we see it being used oftentimes to the detriment of all life on Earth. So it's really exciting, and I really applaud and commend people like yourself, Steve. I know you personally. I know you to be a personable conversationalist, and it was really a pleasure and an honor to meet you and to have connections with people who are in this field of research and are trying, you know, making it a part of their life to bring this information out to others. And that's why I thought it was really important for you to come on and talk to us, to let people know this is going on. Can you want to give some dates and some contact information for anybody interested in attending this event? And also, I know that right now is the time to register and to purchase your tickets and get involved in planning for this event. Because as everyone knows, logistically, it's really important to get as many people registered so you know what you have in store, right, Steve?
That's right. And to do that, you know, we're offering a 20% discount right now. And if two or more people sign up, you get an additional 5%. And like I say, teens are free. So it's going to be, just, you know, and it's going to be a great time. The dates are July 30th to August 3rd. It's July 30th to August 3rd in Albuquerque, New Mexico, at the Embassy Suites Hotel. And at the Embassy Suites, we have special rates for $94 a night. That's a great deal, since breakfast is free. It's a really good breakfast. You know, there's like a buffet, but you also have an omelet bar where you have omelets and eggs to order, you know. And then you also have a free happy hour in the evenings, free internet, you know, for the rooms. And these are all two-room suites, you know. And normally these rooms go for about $189 a night. So at $94, we got a great deal for the conference attendees. So.
Well, that sounds like a great and exciting experience for the early part of the summer. It's actually in the middle of the summer almost, you know, right in the middle of the summer. And so I know Albuquerque, New Mexico is a wonderful location. And I'm really looking forward to it. We're going to be going to a bunch of different places. Did you have something else you wanted to say, Steve?
Yeah, to register, go to call 520-463-1994. That's 520-463-1994. Or you can go to our website, teslatech.info. That's TESLATECH, teslatech.info, INFO. And we have our conference programs there. And I hope you all come. I know you'll learn a lot of stuff. You know, we have theories. We even have alternative health stuff. So for the women, you know, and people interested in their health, there's a lot of things just, you know, besides energy stuff.
Sure, you know, and with Mother's Day coming up this weekend, you know, it is important to recognize because we all know that the women in our lives many times are the healers. They are the ones who are seeking methods to, and you know, once upon a time before the AMA and the doctors out there got the stranglehold on medicine and healing, it was the women of the communities, you know, that were the ones people went to get healed and to be relieved of afflictions. So it is most important for the women in our lives, because they still have that role in households, to understand what's out there, to learn about the different techniques, and to know that there have been methods that are suppressed because They don't want to. They got the market cornered on medicine. You know, they're making a lot of money out there, the way things are. So those who have a vested interest, right, Steve? They want to keep things the way they are.
And like I said, we encourage women to come, and I also encourage women to perhaps speak. You know, this year we have 3 women speaking at our conference. You know, in both the medical fields and the physics field. So. We want to provide good role models for women, too.
As we do, too, Steve. Great. Well, is there anything else you wanted to let anyone else know with regards to this great and awesome event coming up in July out in Albuquerque, New Mexico?
Like I say, now register as soon as you can. Start making your plans today. It's 520-463-1994. And we hope to see you there in July.
Yeah, myself, Prater X, and Mater X, and a couple of our children will be there. We're really excited, and we look forward to meeting you again, Steve.
Great.
Thanks again, and have an excellent weekend coming up.
Thank you.
Well, that's our show this week, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed it, and stay tuned next week here in the Middle Chamber when we will have Andre Vidomus, author of the book Hands-On Chaos Magic, which we're excited to discuss with him. Next week, same time, same network, the Middle Chamber at the Sync Book Radio Network. Thanks again for stopping by, everyone. Have a great week. Farewell, and we'll see you next time.